Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The plan is and has been in motion up to this point. And here this night, in the midst of all of what was going on, Jesus takes the moment to call his disciples, his apostles, to repentance. Tells them to pray that they do not fall in the temptation. He does this for he knows the weight of what is about to happen. Because mankind has sinned and fallen short of God's glory, their need must be fulfilled. It's a sorrowing moment, one that has been prepared with great diligence and in great order. And so, when the Lord sends Peter and John to go prepare the Passover, he has them do it with great order, in great preparation. And even then, he has laid a plan in place where there be one they could follow, where they could find the upper room that they would go and have the Lord's Supper for the first time as they would celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover of the Lamb that is to be sacrificed. Now, thinking back on the time of the Exodus, we can see the urgency and the full meaning of what it is to have this Passover lamb being prepared that day. Because that night, when the time came for the Lord to free his people from Egypt, it would be given that the angel of death would come. And all who do not have the blood of the Lamb over the doorframe would die. And so he gave to his people the Passover, the sacrifice of the lambs and their blood to cover the sins of the people, that there they would live. This parallel was a pointing to Christ, that there as the people of Egypt, or those people of Israel living in Egypt, would be saved when the people of Egypt who did not believe would die. There it was that the firstborn would die, but God's people and their children would live. So here it is, as it were with sin, that death comes for us all, as it did for those unbelieving souls. For sin kills this flesh. It's why we age, it's why we get sick, it's why we eventually die. And yet, in the midst of all of that, the Lord's plan was in motion, set to save you. That there, death that wanted to reign eternal over you, that you would have eternal condemnation and be separated from God forever, would no longer come for you, but instead by the blood of the Lamb who was slain, Jesus Christ, your Messiah, the final Passover Lamb. His blood would be smeared upon your head to cover your sins, that it would run in your veins as you receive his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, and that you'd be united to him as children of God as the body of Christ, as he washes you in the waters of baptism. That there, this eternal death would pass over you. That where you had been dead, now you have life everlasting in Jesus. And so he takes his disciples and leads them, as it were, through this story, very carefully giving them what is to be done. And those words, as he speaks of his body and blood given and shed for the people that is soon to take place and is received in the Lord's Supper. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He goes on to say, "This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood." The old covenant was the promise passed down from Abraham. And all that was given within that, with the sacrifices and all the previous laws for God's people, Christ would fill every ounce, every word written down in his word in the scriptures. For God keeps his promises. And there, as we as sinners no longer lived according to how he created us, he wanted to bring us back to him and turn us to live as we were once created to live. And he did this by coming into our flesh and dying. That this new covenant in the blood of Christ would be the fulfillment of his word, and there the promise of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. For where there is one of those three, there is always the others. And there, as earthly kingdoms would have it their way, we would see that God's kingdom works differently. And so, as the disciples worried and wonder who was the greatest, who was the best, the Lord points them to what it is to live and to serve, what it is to be like him, to be sanctified. As he gives us faith, as we hear his word, he calls us to live and serve our neighbor, just as he lived and served each and every one of you. And so those who were the greatest or the first now become the last or the younger, and the leader now serves, and the one who reclines takes the place of the server. It is that how he lives is contrary to our earthly understanding. And our God, veiled in our flesh, prepares for his death, that he would die for each and every one of you. And there, he prepares us to understand that this feast that we get in the Lord's Supper, from this point of his death and resurrection, would not take place until your resurrection, on that last day when he returns. There, this is a foretaste of the feast which is to come. And we, with Peter, are zealous for what is to come next. Peter thinks he knows the way it will go, that he'll get locked up in prison, maybe even die. And both of those things would happen after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. But on that night, Peter would do what he would consider the unthinkable. He would deny Christ three times before the rooster crows. Our lives aren't always easy or black and white in the world around us. It isn't a simple A or B answer always out there. We think we have it down pat, that we know exactly how we'll be in every circumstance. But there are times that the stress and worries of this life and our sinful nature get to us. And the decisions we make surprise us. And at times there might be moments in our sin that we are more like Peter than we care to admit. Moments that we live life contrary to how God created us and deny that he is there and that he is our Savior. That we turn to things of this life and make gods out of them. And yet the Lord calls us away from temptation and into repentance. Calls us out of our sin and into repentance. And there, like Peter, in the midst of our despair and our sorrow, we turn to him who died for us. And so, there that night, Peter, in a zealous fear and worry that something would happen to Jesus, picks up the sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. And this was not how the Lord wanted any of his disciples or apostles to act. So he cries out, "It is enough, enough of this." And so there, after he had prayed and his sweat turned to blood in foreshadowing the blood that would fall from his face at the crown of thorns the next day, there he would heal the man's ear, showing the complete healing that would come in his death and resurrection. And Jesus asks them a question. "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." They come afraid of Jesus, for they did not listen to the word of God and the promise therein. And they had the lack of faith, so they came at Jesus in fear and intimidation. Yet he stood peaceful, and as he always did, the one with the authority over all creation, bringing healing and salvation for all. This shows us what is to come in the days that follow. As we know the story of old, and we celebrate this week. But in it all, as we receive the Lord's Supper this night, remember your baptism. And how you are united to Christ. And there in him, as he died for you, his body given, his blood poured out. As we look to remembering his death tomorrow in the midst of darkness. That in him you have forgiveness. In him you have salvation. In him you have eternal life. This is his gift to you as he walks you to repentance, as he dies for you and rises from the grave, that united with him, death will never rule over you again, so that when this life comes to its end, you shall know, as did Lazarus' sister, that in Christ you shall have the resurrection at the end of days, when he returns and raises all the dead. There you shall join him in his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, where there is no darkness remaining. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the offering.